Well, good morning, Fairhaven. It's great to have you here today. Thank you for being here. If you are new here, you have been greeted in all of our campuses, and I'd like to greet you as well. Just say welcome. We're glad you're here. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors that serves on staff here, and it's really an honor to have all of you here. For those of you that come regularly, great to see your faces. I do want to welcome Springboro to the south that's joining us right now. Northmont to the north joining us. Beaver Creek there on the east. Classics, all you that are online with us and right here in the room. We're so grateful. We are in a series, a collection of conversations, maybe a better way of saying it. We're in the locker room, and we're looking to God's playbook for us, which is His Word, and we're answering questions that really are difficult questions that I get all the time, difficult questions that many of us wrestle with all the time. And so today, we're going to be answering the question, how do you hear from God? Like, if you really want to connect with God and you want an answer of some kind, how do you connect with God? We're going to be looking for answers for that in the playbook that He gives us, because He gives us answers to all the very, very challenging issues of life. And that's just so encouraging for us to be able to come and to worship Him together and then now look in His Word and to see if we can answer that question for us today. Like, to get us started, though, I want you to know that as you look in the New Testament specifically, you'll find one of the greatest metaphors of God and how He leads us and how He speaks to us in the Good Shepherd. In fact, in the early days, 1800s, 1900s, early 1900s, early 1800s, it was one of the ancient pictures that people would draw because it was such a prolific metaphor of who God is and how God lives and moves in our life and speaks to us. And so I want to show you a picture, actually, that's in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. This is a painting by Anton Mauve. He is a cousin to Van Gogh, actually. And I want you to take a good look at this picture, because this picture really depicts what we're going to be reading today in the New Testament. You'll notice that the path is muddy. You'll notice that there's not a defined pathway there. It's just kind of a hard path there, symbolizing our life and sometimes the confusing things that we face in our life, sometimes not knowing where to go. You'll notice that the shepherd is leading the sheep. He stands in front. You'll also notice that the shepherd is there protecting. There's a dog there. There's a rifle. Those are symbolic of the fact that God protects us. He desires. He knows the path forward. He knows where you're at, where I'm at. He knows all of that. The Good Shepherd is a metaphor that is so very powerful, and we're going to be taking a look at that metaphor in Scripture today as we try to answer the question, how do we hear from God? Because my guess is that with all of our campuses and many of you that are online joining us right now, there are many of you that might be looking for a decision in your life. Like, you're at the crossroads and you need to make a decision, maybe about your job, maybe about something in your life, maybe about your finances, your kids, your grandkids, your single friends, whatever it might be for you. You might be at the point of your life where you need God to speak to you and give you direction one way or another. You might be here today, because some of us are, where you just need comfort. It's amazing how Monday through Saturday can beat us up. But you can go through a week and it can be hard. It can be very difficult. And coming to worship, where we gather together and we worship God, I think you know this, but there's only one person in the audience today, and that's God Himself. We all are worshiping Him. We're lifting our voices, and now we're giving Him our hearts as we look into His Word and to see what He has to say to us. Some of you might be here because you just need comfort. You need God to come alongside of you and just communicate to you that He's with you. He knows, He loves, He cares. Some of you might be here today because you just need insight. Like, you're in the middle of something and it's confusing and you're not really sure, and God can give you insight as He speaks to you. There might be some of you that need confirmation. You've actually, over the last week or two or month, you've been taking your life in a direction because you felt like God wanted you to go this direction, and you're looking for confirmation, for God to say to you, yes, it's okay. This is the right thing in your life. Some of you just might need, well, just good old-fashioned encouragement. You might just need to know that you are seen, that you are valuable, that your life matters, that He has purpose for you. Because sometimes we go through a week and we wonder, don't we? We wonder, like, am I just doing the same thing every day? And does this matter? Is this really worth doing? And maybe you just need some encouragement. Or maybe here today, some of you just need courage. You need courage to do the right thing. You know what that is. I know what that is. And sometimes we just need the courage to act, to take the first step. My father used to say to me, starting is half done. It's pretty good. Starting is half done. And maybe you just need the courage to just start and begin in your life. How do you hear from God? Interestingly enough, in the metaphor of the Good Shepherd, Jesus uses this metaphor to talk about the relationship that we can have with him as God in our life, but that he communicates to us and he will speak to us. So I hope you brought a Bible or a device with you. And I'm going to ask you to join me because my Bible is going to be open up to John chapter 10. John is in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 10. In fact, the whole chapter is worth reading. If you're looking for a place to go this week, you might want to read the entire chapter because the entire chapter really is about this metaphor that he's the good shepherd and we are the sheep. And in verses 1-6 specifically, he tells us how he speaks to us. How does the shepherd speak to us? And we're going to learn that today as I read this. But let me start off by just reading, starting in verse 1. And let's see if we can tackle this. He starts off by saying, Jesus speaking here, truly, truly. Now, I've mentioned about a month ago that when you see in Scripture that something is mentioned twice in a row like that, in the ancient world, in literature and in writing, when it's done twice, that means this is important. Listen up, listen carefully. So Jesus says that, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. Now, if you like to write in your Bibles, you may want to put a line right there because the first two verses and a half, he mentions what was happening actually in chapter 9. Let me just give you a quick preview of chapter 9. Chapter 9, Jesus healed the man who was born blind. And obviously the people around him, the Pharisees and a bunch of people there that saw this whole thing said, are you the Son of God? Are you God? And so Jesus was trying to answer that and they didn't believe it. And so Jesus in verses 1-2 says, if you're a person of authority and if you're the shepherd, you don't get in to be the shepherd by stealing and robbing your way in or just making, you know, you're getting your own way. Jesus says it actually opens by the gatekeeper. That's God the Father. So Jesus is saying in verses 1-2 and half of 3 that I am the shepherd. I'm the shepherd. I am God. I'm the Son of God. And then he starts talking about the sheep. Let's read on. Verse 3. The sheep hear his voice, the shepherd. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. That's what we saw in the picture. And the sheep follow him. That's what all the pictures show. For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So there were some that were there in the crowd that didn't understand this metaphor. And Jesus makes that well known that they didn't really understand it. They were not followers of his. They were not wanting to really understand who God is. So right here in these six verses, particularly 3, 4, and 5, Jesus answers the question for us, believe it or not, how do we hear from God? Because my guess is, again, some of you might want to hear from God today. At the very end of our time here, after we've looked at chapter 10 and the first six verses and unpack it, I'm going to give you an opportunity in all of our campuses, even online, I don't know where you're at, but we're just going to take 2 minutes of silence for you just simply to say, God, would you speak to me today? Would you speak to me today? Now, what would it be like if thousands of us left today and go into a week of work or a week of whatever it looks like for you, knowing that God has spoken, that you've heard his voice in some capacity? That would be pretty amazing. A couple things before we jump into John chapter 10 about God speaking. Let me talk to you a few minutes about how God's voice is something that we need to understand. First of all, in hearing God's voice, every follower of Jesus longs to hear from God. What I know about you, all of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, is that you long, you want God to speak. You want to hear his voice. You want him to give you direction and inspiration and helping you to understand things. You want that. We all want that. And if you're here today, and we have many, by the way, on every single weekend, and you're here and you're investigating faith or you're trying to figure out if this is the path that you want to go, we're honored that you're here. We're so grateful that you have the intellect to be able to actually think through this because God does want a relationship with you, by the way. And this is important because you even may want God to speak to you. And we'll find today that really takes a relationship with Him. Every follower longs to hear God's voice. Secondly, I think you'd agree with me that healthy relationships require communication. That in our communication with God, God wants a relationship with us. And if you want a relationship with God, it's going to take communication. It's going to take speaking to Him and Him speaking to you. I mean, as I was studying for this, I got thinking to myself, I wonder if I talked to my wife only once in a month, that would not be very good for our marriage. Right, ladies? That would not be very good for our marriage. Then I got thinking about my staff, the staff that I get to serve alongside and, you know, people who influence me and that I work with every day and serving you as the church. And I thought to myself, what happens if I just showed up once a month for about 5 minutes? Well, that wouldn't be very good. We would not know where each other are at, what we're doing. You get the idea. I mean, healthy communication requires, healthy relationships, rather, require communication. And God knows that better than we do. And so He's going to answer that question for us today. Here's the third thing I would say before we unpack John chapter 10. The challenge is that there's lots of competing voices. And I'm actually going to suggest some of the competing voices for you as we look closer in John chapter 10. Because there's competing voices all over the place. And sometimes it's confusing to hear from God because there's so many voices that are out there. A great story for that, if you're looking for a story, is in 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, it's a story of Elijah, where he had just gone through this battle between the prophets of Baal and the prophets of God. You may remember that story. If you didn't, you can read it in 1 Kings chapter 19. And of course, God wins, and Elijah runs for his life because things get pretty dicey. So he's in a cave, and he says to God, I want to hear from you. I need to hear from you. He's longing to hear from God, maybe like you. You might be in a cave today. Actually, you're longing to hear from God. Elijah was longing to hear from God, and all of a sudden, this huge wind came by. And God said, I'm not in the wind. Next, an earthquake shows up. I mean, the ground is shaking. You would think that when God speaks, it's like, you know, the ground is shaking and things are moving and falling apart. Rocks are flying. And God says, I'm not in the earthquake. Then fire breaks out. I mean, just like instant combustion. Boom. You know, this huge fire and it's heat. The heat is there and it's hot. And God says, I'm not in the fire. And then God whispers gently. It's the voice of God. See, there's lots of competing voices in our life, and that story actually represents that. Some are louder than others. Some are harder than others. But if you are willing to look for the answer that we find in the playbook, we can get it. But there's a lot of competing voices that are there. Here's the last thing before we sort of jump in, and that is we recognize voices that we know. You will recognize the voices of the people that you know. Chances are, if you came with somebody today, a friend, a spouse, a high schooler, a college student, sitting next to them, you know their voice. I mean, you don't even have to look on the caller ID. You know their voice. It's absolutely amazing. Here's the question. How do we hear from God? Again, before we jump in, it might be helpful to understand why God even wants to speak to us. I mean, if you're asking that question, it might be really smart to start with, why is it that God speaks anyway? Because I don't know if you know or not that all of the other religions of the world will tell you God doesn't normally speak to you. You have to somehow appease God in order for Him to speak to you. You have to somehow earn your way in order for God to speak to you. I mean, there are people that do things all across the world, and I've traveled many, many places. My wife and I, we've been to Asia and Africa and Latin America. We've been to all kinds of places. And there's people that will do crazy things to try to get the attention of some God out there because they want to hear from God, and it's silent. The God of the Bible, the playbook that you and I read, and we'll read again as we look at John chapter 10, is a God that says, I'm speaking to you because I want to know you. See, He wants to know you. He wants to be in relationship with you, which is pretty astounding that the God of the universe wants to know us. In fact, it says in here, as we just read it, that He knows you by name. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling. He knows all of that. What an amazing God that is. In Exodus chapter 33, you can read that God says to Moses, "You're my friend." In John chapter 15, he says to his disciples, "You're my friend." So you see, God speaks because he wants us to know him. He wants to be in relationship with us. Secondly, God speaks. Here's a second reason why God speaks. He speaks because he wants to guide us. So if you're here today and you need a decision, you've come to the right place as we begin thinking about it, and as we spend 2 minutes maybe at the end, God may give you some direction today. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because he does want to guide us. Proverbs 3 tells us that we can listen for God's voice in everything, and he will keep us on track. That God speaks to us because he wants to correct us, he wants to encourage us, he wants to convict us in our lives, he wants to give you wisdom, me wisdom, he wants to reveal truth, he wants to redirect us, he wants to lead us toward obedience in our life. God wants to guide us. All through Scripture we see that. One more before we jump into John chapter 10. Here's the reason why God speaks, because he wants to give us perspective. Now, perspective is different than guidance. I mean, guidance, God can guide us and say, you should do this, or you should do that, or you should undo this, or you should think about this. Perspective is when you go through life and sometimes things just don't make sense and you don't understand it and you're confused. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is the living, active Word that cuts through everything and gives you discerning thoughts and discerning intentions. That's pretty amazing. That God can give us perspective that you can't find anywhere else. All right, your Bibles are open. Hopefully, leave them open because we're going to focus on verses 3, 4, and 5. And in verses 3, 4, and 5, we get the answer to the question, how do we hear from God? So here we go. Let's jump in. I'll give you five things that Jesus mentions in these short verses. First, he says that we hear from God because it begins with a relationship. When you have a relationship with God, that's the beginning place of hearing God. Verse 3, he says, the sheep hear his voice because they're in relationship with him. Relationship is really, really important. I mean, God has been communicating ever since the beginning of time. I mean, if you start in Genesis chapter 1, you realize that when God spoke, the earth came into being. God's been speaking since the beginning of humanity. He spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He spoke to Moses in Exodus 3. He spoke to Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. He spoke to the prophets according to Hebrews in the New Testament. He spoke through Jesus according to Hebrews in the New Testament. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. We'll hear more about that today in John chapter 13. It's important for us to remind ourselves today that God is not silent by nature. He's not a silent God. He's a God who reveals himself. So the question might not be, how do we hear from God? The question might be, how can I begin to recognize his voice? That might be the more important question as we're thinking through this. Because if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, it's not just about the information that you can learn about God when God speaks. It's about knowing God personally. It starts with a relationship. This last week, I was in the car with my wife, and we were traveling for a couple of hours, and all of a sudden, my phone rang. She handed it to me, and I swiped it, and I answered. I didn't even need to look at the caller ID. I answered in one word, I knew exactly who it was. And here's the one word. Poppy? Oh, yeah. That's my 3-year-old grandson. I knew immediately who it was. And so I said, oh, hey, Tucker. His name is Tucker. I call him Tuck. I said, Tuck, what's going on? And my son is in the background. They were riding together in the car. And apparently they were riding together, and Tucker saw this fast car that goes zooming by their car. Because my son, he drives so slow. It's unbelievable. So this car goes zooming by, and Tucker's coming to Dayton, Ohio on Thursday. He's coming to visit my wife and I, along with his brother Owen, and so we're excited that our grandsons are coming this week. And Tucker says, Poppy, can we go riding fast in your car? And I go, oh, yeah. Yeah, and your dad is not invited. He is not invited. So I'm just warning you in advance. On Thursday, stay off the roads. Tucker and I, we're going fast. We're going to go fast. I recognized his voice. I didn't have to look at the caller ID. In one word, I knew. You see, as we think about this, we identify the voice we know. The sheep hear his voice. Starts with a relationship. Now, right away, if you're here and you're exploring faith, you're like, so God doesn't speak to me? Now, listen very carefully. Yes, he does. But it looks a lot like verse 6. Verse 6, Jesus says, there are many that didn't understand the metaphor. In other words, God does speak to those of you that are not followers yet, but it's really hard to understand. It's really hard. It really requires a relationship. And so here's what I would say to you. You're probably at the point in your life where you know all you need to know. And it might just be today that you could just invite Jesus into your life and you could develop a relationship with him starting now. It's as simple as saying, I invite you into my life. I know you died for me and took care of all of my sins, past, present, and future, and I can have a life with you. I surrender my life to you. It's just that simple. And here's what's going to happen. You'll hear his voice more clearly, and he'll begin to lead you in a way that you could never be led in any other way. Is that right, church? And so I want to make sure that you hear that if you're here today and you're exploring faith, because a relationship is really where that starts. Jesus mentions that in John chapter 10. He goes on in verse 3. Look at verse 3 again. And the second thing he says to us is that, how do you hear from God? Well, you have to give him your attention. Well, there's a novel idea. You have to give him your attention. It says the sheep hear his voice. Now, if you like to write in your Bibles, or if you're a note taker, the word hear there means listen. How many of you would agree with me that there's a difference between hearing and listening? Big difference, isn't there? And in fact, if you've had kids, you know this, because there are many times where we hear our kids, but we're not listening. I mean, I've had 4 kids, as you know, 4 boys, and they're loud and they're rambunctious. They were breaking holes in the walls. They're beating each other up with trucks. It's unbelievable. And I'm trying to work at home sometimes in the evening. I'm trying to study perhaps or work, or maybe Kathy and I are having a conversation, and it's unbelievable how hard you have to tune out all of this. And so I've developed this high sense of concentration. It's so amazing that sometimes my concentration level is so deep that the boys will be calling me, hey, Dad, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. And I don't hear a thing until they say, David. Then I answer. How weird is that? My son's calling me by my first name. See, Jesus says we have to give him our attention. In other words, we have to create space and time to hear. We say this almost every week, and so those of you that attend regularly, you've heard this. But we often encourage ourselves, as well as the church family, that you might want to consider a daily. We call it a daily. Meaning that every day, you may want to spend a few minutes in God's Word, and you may want to spend a few minutes talking to him and or listening. Because it requires giving him our attention. Now, it might be helpful to know, under this idea right here, it might be helpful to know how God speaks. Because if you're going to give his attention, you might be wondering, well, how exactly does God speak? Let me show you, actually, I'm going to give you 4 things that the Bible tells us. This is exactly how God speaks, and actually, it's in this order. Number 1, number 2, 3, and 4. Don't mix them up. Here they are in the Bible. Here's how God speaks. Take a screenshot if you want. How does God speak to us? He starts with his word. The playbook that he gives to us, he starts with that. Have you ever had a situation where you've read something in God's word, and all of a sudden you heard God speaking to you because of what he says in his word, and then months and months later, maybe years later, you read the same verse, and all of a sudden he says something quite different to you? Have you ever had that happen to you? It's pretty amazing when that happens. What's interesting is this. It's interesting to note that when you read God's word, the meaning never changes. The application might. The way in which you hear it and apply it into your life changes. That's why God's word could be read day after day after day, and God can say different things every single day. The meaning is the same, but the application is the same. So that's why we say you might want to consider a daily, because God's word is the first place. In fact, let me say this. If you're here today and you're trying to make a big decision in any one of our campuses, Centerville, Springboro, Northmont, Beaver Creek, Classics, Listen up. If you're trying to make a big decision in your life, I would encourage you to spend more and more time right now, because you're trying to make a decision, spend more time in God's Word. Because it is the place in which God will communicate to you and guide you and lead you and encourage you and challenge you and give you the courage to take that step. So if you're here and you have a decision to make, spend some time, because God's Word is number one. Number two is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in our life. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, He gives to you the Holy Spirit, according to Romans and other places, that He gives to us the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. I want you to think about that for a minute. Get your head around that. That's amazing that God gives us His Spirit inside of us. And His Spirit will guide us. How do you know that it's the Holy Spirit? Get to that in 1 second. Hold on to that thought. But the Holy Spirit is the second way that God communicates to us. Thirdly, it's godly people or godly wisdom in our lives. Your parents, your friends, somebody who is older than you, actually somebody that's younger than you, actually, who could be mature, can give you godly wisdom, godly people God brings into our life. The problem is when you only go to godly people and you don't go to the Word, or you don't go to God's Spirit inside of you, you can get yourself into real trouble. In fact, the last one is where you get in real trouble, because your circumstances can communicate. God uses circumstances, even hard ones, not because He does that to us, but in somehow in His sovereignty, He allows it, and He can use those circumstances to speak to us. But typically the circumstances are there based on godly people, His Spirit, and His Word, in that order. So if you want to know how God speaks, it's usually one of those four in that order. See, Jesus says we have to give Him our attention. If you want to hear from God, we got to give Him our attention. Look at verse 4, chapter 10, verse 4. He gives us the third thing, that we have to become familiar with His voice. He says in verse 4, when He has brought out all His own, all the sheep, He goes before them, aren't you glad about that, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. We become familiar. The more you give attention and time and space, and the more you give an opportunity for God to speak and hear His voice, the more you'll be familiar with that in your life. You'll be familiar with His voice. On my cell phone, I have my wife's name in here, and I have a song attached to that, because I promised my wife that no matter what I'm doing in the course of the day, I don't care what meeting I'm in, she has access to me at any time, anywhere, any place. She can call and interrupt anything, because she's the other half. We're two that have become one. So I might be sitting in a meeting with you, and if my phone goes off, because I can tell, it's the only phone number that has a song to it that is above the silence. In other words, you can set your phone so that it actually ignores the silence and will play the song, in order that I know immediately if my phone is sitting here next to me and I'm having a conversation and the phone rings, that song, it's Kathy. I'm answering it. She's my wife. Well, one day, my sons, I don't know how they got my password. They changed the song. So I was in the hospital one day praying with this family. It was a very serious moment and talking with them. And I said, well, let me pray for you. And I began to pray. And would you be interested in hearing the song that they chose? I actually have it here on my phone. It goes something like this. How many of you know that song? Shame on you in church. That's just unbelievable. That is AC/DC back in black. In the middle of a prayer, that goes off. And it's quite embarrassing, I got to be honest with you. And in fact, I stopped the prayer and I said, oh, I'm really sorry about my heathen phone. My sons changed the song. And so I wasn't really familiar with that being my wife. But see, Jesus says in verse 4 that we have to become familiar with His voice. That the more you know God's Word, the more you'll recognize His voice. Now, let me give you the filter. Here's how you can discern if it's the Spirit of God or not. Let me tell you four things quickly about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never tell you something that's different than God's Word, ever. The Spirit will never tell you something to do or some word to you, speak to you, that is different or deviates from his word. Many, many years ago, they are no longer here. They've moved out of town. I met with this man. He's a great man. He was a friend, actually, and he came into my office, and he absolutely startled me. He sat down with me, and he said, I'm going to divorce my wife because God has spoken very, very clearly to me, and I'm going to marry this young lady over here. She brought her with him that day. And he said, God spoke to me clearly. And he was sitting in my office, and I had to say to him, with everything that I could, I said, that's not God. Would you agree with me, church? That's not God. And then I said, you know, you're so confident. Where do you feel like God would say something like that to you? I mean, because the Spirit of God will never lead you somewhere that his word doesn't say, right, church? And so it was a hard, hard moment. And he left my office still convinced. I didn't convince him. And I don't know, somewhere down the line, maybe God will convince him. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit will never tell you something that's in disagreement with the scripture. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will only reflect the character of God. As the Spirit of God speaks to you, he will only reflect the character of God in your life. Thirdly, and maybe most importantly, so listen up, all campuses, everybody, the Holy Spirit will give you conviction, but never condemnation. If you feel condemned, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's the enemy. See, the Spirit of God can give us conviction. You might feel that you're doing something that is not pleasing to God, and it draws you to confession. It brings you to a place of getting away from it. It brings you to a place, and it's happened for me. It's happened to many of you. I know some of your stories, and it's awesome to see how the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us away from that which is not right and good and honoring to God in our lives. The Holy Spirit will never bring condemnation, only conviction in our lives. Lastly, the Holy Spirit will be confirmed by godly wisdom. As you have friends and spouses and people in your life, rather, who can give you godly wisdom, he will use that in your life to affirm what the Holy Spirit is already saying to you. It's just that important. Let me say it this way. The more we cultivate our relationship, the better we will recognize his voice. And so Jesus is pretty clear about the fact that we need to become familiar with his voice. Fourthly, in verse 4, by the way, Jesus says, here's how you hear from God. You respond in obedience. Now, this is maybe one of the most interesting things that Jesus says here, and let me tell you why in a second. John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, he, the shepherd, goes before them, and the sheep follow him. The sheep follow him. The goal of hearing from God is obedience. In fact, many times when people say to me, or even when I say it to myself, that I'm not hearing from God, what that really means is we're hearing from God, we just don't like what he's saying. See, oftentimes we're not following in what Jesus is actually saying to us. And so that's the issue here that Jesus is saying you need to respond in obedience. If God speaks to you and he asks you to do something, you need to respond in obedience there. Sometimes we want God to tell us something when we haven't even obeyed the last thing he said. And so it's important for us to understand that God doesn't just speak to inform us. He speaks to lead us because he knows what's best. He knows what we need. He has the plan. He has our future in mind. The question might be not, God, what are you saying? The question should be, God, am I willing to follow you? Because oftentimes in my own life, and I'm sure even in your life, when we say we're not hearing from God, it really is about the fact that we're just not following in obedience. And Jesus made that very clear in this metaphor. And then he ends in verse 5. He says this, and we kind of mentioned this in the very beginning, but he said, beware of the voices that contradict God. Beware of them. He says in verse 5, a stranger they will not follow. The sheep will not follow the stranger. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Let me give you some competing voices that we face in our life every day. We have the voices of culture. We have the voices that we see on television and different news outlets. Be very careful in your own life that you're not caught up with culture in your life, because that can be a competing voice. Fear is a competing voice. Temptation is a competing voice. Other people is a competing voice. Our emotions are a competing voice. By raised hand, I've done this in all services, and so let's try it here. How many of you would agree with me that there are many times that your emotions lie to you? Hands raised if you agree with that. Look around. That's most of us in all of our campuses. Our emotions can lie to us and can be a competing voice. Our own desires can be a competing voice. What Jesus is saying here in verse 5 essentially is reject the competing voices. Reject them. And you need God's word, you need the Holy Spirit, you need godly people, and you need circumstances that might help you with that. The whole thing in which Jesus is saying is simply this. Hearing from God matters. And he knows that. He will talk to you. If you're in a relationship with him, give him your attention. Get familiar with his voice. The more you hear from him, the easier it is to hear from him again. God's communicating to you. Hearing from God matters, but following him matters more. More. Would you just bow your heads with me, power down your devices, and maybe just close your Bibles for a minute? I'm going to give you 2 minutes because I would love for us as a church to just have some silence because you might just need to hear from God today. You might need an answer. You might need some inspiration, encouragement. You might need comfort. Would you just quietly offer this prayer? God, I want to hear from you. That's it. God, I want to hear from you. Father, we've read this metaphor. You were very clear. We get it. We know, Lord, that you want to speak to us. We know that you care about us. So, Lord, our prayer, all of us, our prayer is that we want to hear from you. Would you speak? Father, thank you that you desire to speak with us. You desire for us to recognize your voice, to give you our attention. Father, we're here and we're trying to do that. I pray that you would give comfort and direction and courage and conviction, that you'd give us understanding and wisdom. Father, I pray that every person would leave here today on every campus, even those online, wherever they might be, that they would begin their week hearing from you the powerful reality that the God of the universe speaks to us. We thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace in our life. Thank you, Father, that we can trust your word, that you, in fact, desire to communicate and to build that relationship with us. We want to hear from you. May that happen today, we pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.